Interlude 13. Rissen. Rissen was bored. Once, she'd walked to the farthest reaches of Roshar, trading with the isolationist Shin. Once, she'd sailed with her Babsk to ice water and cut a deal with pirates. Once, she'd climbed Reshi great shells, which were as large as towns. Now she kept Queen Fen's ledgers. It was a good job, with an office in the Thalen Gemstone Reserve. Vestim, her former Babsk, had traded favors to get her the job. Her apprenticeship finished, she was a free woman, no longer a student, now a master of boredom. She sat in her chair, doodling at the edges of a Leoforn word puzzle. Rissen could balance while sitting, though she couldn't feel her legs, and embarrassingly couldn't control certain bodily functions. She had to rely upon her porters to move her. Career over, freedom over, life over. She sighed and pushed away her word puzzle. Time to get back to work. Her duties included annotating the Queen's pending mercantile contracts with references to previous ones, keeping the Queen's personal vault in the Gemstone Reserve, preparing weekly expenditure reports, and accounting the Queen's salary as a portion of taxable income from various Thalen interests at home and abroad. Whee! She had an audit today, which had prevented her from attending Fen's meeting with the monarchs. She might have enjoyed seeing the Blackthorn and the Azish Emperor. Well, the other aides would bring her word once the meeting was through. For now, she prepared for her audit, working by sphere light, as the reserve didn't have windows. The walls of her office were blank. She'd originally hung souvenirs from her years traveling, but those had reminded her of a life she could no longer have, a life full of promise. A life that had ended when she'd stupidly fallen from the head of a great shell and landed here in this cripple's chair. Now the only memento she kept was a single pot of Shin grass. Well, that and the little creature sleeping among the blades. Cheery Cheery breathed softly, rippling the too dumb grass, which didn't pull into burrows. It grew in something called soil, which was like creme that never hardened. Cheery Cheery herself was a small winged beast a little longer than Rissen's outstretched palm. The Reshi named her a larkin, and though she was the size of a large kremling, she had the snout, carapace, and build of a creature far more grand. An axe hound, perhaps, with wings. A lithe little flying predator. Though for all her dangerous appearance, she sure did like to nap. As Rissen worked, Cheery Cheery finally stirred and peeked out from the grass, then made a series of clicking sounds with her jaw. She climbed down onto the desk and eyed the diamond mark Rissen was using for light. No, Rissen said, double-checking numbers in her ledger. Cheery Cheery clicked again, slinking toward the gem. You just ate, Rissen said, then used her palm to shoo the larkin back. I need that for light. Cheery Cheery clicked in annoyance, then flew, wings beating very quickly, to the upper reaches of the room, where she settled onto one of her favorite perches, the lintel above the doorway. A short time later, a knock at the door interrupted Rissen's tedium. Come, she said. Her man, Wumlak, who was half-assistant, half-porter, poked his head in. Let me guess, Rissen said. The auditor is early. They always were.
Yes, but...
Behind Wumlak, Rissen caught sight of a familiar flat-topped conical hat. Wumlak stepped back and gestured toward an old man in blue and red robes, his Thalen eyebrows tucked behind his ears. Spry for a man past his 70th year, Vestim had a wise but unyielding way about him, inoffensively calculating. He carried a small box under his arm. Rissen gasped in delight. Once she would have leaped to her feet to embrace him. Now she could only sit there and gape.
But you were off to trade in New Nuttenen.
The seas are not safe these days, Vestim said, and the Queen requested my aid in difficult negotiations with the Alethi. I have returned, with some reluctance, to accept an appointment from Her Majesty.
An appointment?
In the government?
Rissin asked.
Minister of Trade, and royal liaison to the Guild of Shipping Merchants.
Rissin could only gape further. That was the highest civilian appointment in the kingdom.
But, Babsk, you'll have to live in Thalen's city.
Well, I am feeling my age these days.
Nonsense. You're as lively as I am.
Rissin glanced at her legs. More.
Not so lively that I wouldn't mind a seat.
She realized he was still standing in the doorway to her office. Even all these months after her accident, she pushed with her arms as if to spring up and fetch him a seat. Idiot.
Please, sit, she said, waving toward the room's other chair.
He settled down and placed his box on the table, while she twisted to do something to welcome him, leaning over precariously to get the teapot. The tea was cold, unfortunately. Cheery Cheery had drained the gemstone in her fabrial hot plate.
I can't believe you'd agree to settle down, she said, handing him a cup.
Some would say that the opportunity afforded me is far too important to refuse.
Storm that, Rissin said. Staying in one city will wilt you. You'll spend your days doing paperwork and being bored.
Rissin, he said, taking her hand. Child.
She looked away. Cheery Cheery flew down and landed on her head, clicking angrily at Vestim.
I promise I'm not going to hurt her, the old man said, grinning and releasing Rissin's hand. Here, I brought you something. See?
He held up a ruby chip. Cheery Cheery considered, then hovered down above his hand, not touching it, and sucked the stormlight out. It flew to her in a little stream, and she clicked happily, then zipped over to the pot of grass and wriggled into it, peeking out at Vestim.
You still have the grass, I see, he said.
You ordered me to keep it.
You're now a master merchant, Rissin. You needn't obey the orders of a doddering old man.
The grass rustled as Cheery Cheery shifted. She was too big to hide in it, though that never stopped her from trying.
Cheery Cheery likes it, Rissin said. Maybe because it can't move, kind of like me.
Have you tried that radiant?
Yes. He can't heal my legs. It's been too long since my accident, which is appropriate. This is my consequence. Payment for a contract I entered into willingly the moment I climbed down the side of that great shell.
You don't have to lock yourself away, Rissin.
This is a good job. You yourself got it for me.
Because you refused to go on further trading expeditions.
What good would I be? One must trade from a position of power, something I can never do again. Besides, an exotic goods merchant who can't walk? You know how much hiking is required.
Vestim took her hand again.
I thought you were frightened. I thought you wanted something safe and secure. But I've been listening. Hamalka has told me.
You spoke to my superior?
People talk.
My work has been exemplary, Rissin said.
It isn't your work she's worried about.
He turned and brushed the grass, drawing Cheery Cheery's attention to his hand. She narrowed her eyes at it.
Do you remember what I told you when you cut out that grass?
That I was to keep it, until it no longer seemed odd.
You've always been so quick to make assumptions. About yourself, now, more than others. Here. Perhaps this will... Anyway, have a look.
Vestim handed her the box. She frowned, then slid off the wooden lid. Inside was a wound-up cord of white rope. Beside that, a slip of paper? Rissen took out the sheet, reading it.
A deed of ownership? She whispered. To a ship?
Brand new, Vestim said. A three-masted frigate. The largest I've ever owned, with Fabril stabilizers for storms of the finest Thalen engineering. I had her built in the shipyards of Kulna City, which luckily sheltered her from both storms. While I've given the rest of my fleet, what's left of it, to the Queen for use against the invasion, this one I reserved.
Wandersail, Rissen said, reading the ship's name. Babsk, you are a romantic. Don't tell me you believe that old story.
One can believe in a story without believing it happened.
He smiled.
Whose rules are you following, Rissen? Who is forcing you to stay here? Take this ship. Go. I wish to fund your initial trade run as an investment. After that, you'll have to do well to maintain a vessel of this size.
Rissen recognized the white rope now. It was a captain's cord some 20 feet long, used as a traditional Thalen mark of ownership. She'd wrap it in her colors and string it in the rigging of her ship. It was a gift worth a fortune.
I can't take this, she said, putting the box on the desk. I'm sorry,
He pushed the cord into her hands.
Just think about it, Rissen. Humor an old man who can no longer travel.
She held the rope and found her eyes watering.
Father, Babsk, I have an auditor coming today. I need to be composed and ready to account the Queen's vault.
Fortunately, the auditor is an old friend who has seen much worse from you than a few tears.
But you're the Minister of Trade.
They were going to make me go to a stuffy meeting with old Colin and his soldiers, Vestim said, leaning in. But I insisted on coming to do this. I've always wanted to see the Queen's vault in person.
Rissen wiped her tears, trying to recover some of her decorum.
Well, let's beat to it then. I assure you, everything is in order.
The sphere vault's thick steel door required 3 numbers to open, each rolled into a different dial in 3 separate rooms. Rissen and other scribes knew 1 number, the door guards protected another, and an auditor, like Vestim, was typically given a 3rd by the Queen or the Minister of the Treasury. All were changed at random intervals. Rissen knew for a fact that this was mostly for show. In a world of shard blades, the real defense of the vault was in the layers of guards who surrounded the building, and, more importantly, in the careful auditing of its contents. Though novels were full of stories of the vault being robbed, the only real thefts had occurred through embezzlement. Rissen moved her dial to the proper number, then pulled the lever in her room. The vault door finally opened with a resounding thump, and she scrambled her dial and called for Wumlak. Her porter entered, then pushed down on the back handles of her chair, lifting the front legs so he could wheel it out to meet the others. Vestim stood by the now open vault door with several soldiers. Today's inner door guard, Talik, stood with crossbow at the ready, barring entry. There was a slot that let the men stationed in the vault communicate with those outside, but the door couldn't be opened from within.
"Scheduled accounting of the Queen's personal vault," Rissen said to him. "Daily passcode lockstep."
Click nodded, stepping back and lowering his crossbow. Vestim entered with ledger in hand, trailed by a member of the Queen's guard, a rough-looking man with a shaved head and spiked eyebrows. Once they were in, Wumlak wheeled Rissen through the vault door, down a short corridor and into a little alcove, where another guard, Fladum today, waited. Her porter brushed off his hands, then nodded to her and retreated. Click shut the vault door after him, the metal making a deep thump as it locked into place. The inner vault guards didn't like anyone coming in who wasn't specifically authorized, and that included her servant. She'd have to rely on the guards to move her now, but unfortunately her large wheeled chair was too bulky to fit between the rows of shelves in the main vault. Rissin felt a healthy dose of shame in front of her former Babsk as she was taken like a sack of roots from her chair with rear wheels to a smaller chair with poles along the sides. Being carried was the most humiliating part. The guards left her usual chair in the alcove, near the steps down to the lower level. Then Click and the guardsman the queen had sent, Rissin didn't know his name, took the poles and carried her into the main vault chamber. Even here, in this job where she sat most of the time, her inability was a huge inconvenience. Her embarrassment was exacerbated as Cheery Cheery, who wasn't allowed in the vault for practical reasons, flitted by in a buzz of wings. How had she gotten in? Click chuckled, but Rissin only sighed. The main vault chamber was filled with metal racks like bookcases containing display boxes of gemstones. It smelled stale, of a place that never changed and was never intended to change. The guards carried her down one of the narrow rows, light from spheres tied to their belts providing the only illumination. Rissin carried the captain's rope in her lap and fingered it with one hand. Surely she couldn't take this offer. It was too generous, too incredible, too difficult.
"So dark," Vestim said. "A room full of a million gemstones and it's dark."
"Most gems never leave," Rissin said. "The personal merchant vaults are on the lower level and there's some light to those, with the spheres everyone has been bringing lately. These, though, they're always here."
Possession of these gems changed frequently, but it was all done with numbers in a ledger. It was a quirk of the Thalen system of underwriting trades. As long as everyone was confident that these gemstones were here, large sums could change hands without risk of anything being stolen. Each gemstone was carefully annotated with numbers inscribed both on a plate glued to its bottom and on the rack that held it. Those numbers were what people bought and sold. Rissin was shocked by how few people actually asked to come down and view the thing they were trading to own.
00130173-6, Vestim said. "The Benval Diamond. I owned that way back when. Memorized the number even. Huh. You know, it's smaller than I thought it would be."
She and the two guards led Vestim to the back wall, which held a series of smaller metal vault doors. The main vault behind them was silent. No other scribes were working today, though Cheery Cheery did flit past. She hovered down toward the queen's guardsman, eyeing the spheres on his belt, but Rissin snatched her from the air. Cheery Cheery griped, buzzing her wings against Rissin's hand and clicking. Rissin blushed, but held tight.
"Sorry."
"Must be like a buffet for her down here," Click said.
"A buffet of empty plates," Rissin said. "Keep an eye on your belt, Click."
The two guards set her chair down near a specific vault. With her free hand, Rissin dug a key from her pocket and handed it to Vestim.
"Go ahead. Vault 13.
Vestim unlocked and swung open the smaller vault within the vault, which was roughly the size of a closet. Light poured from it. The shelves inside were filled with gemstones, spheres, jewelry, and even some mundane objects like letters and an old knife. But the most stunning item in the collection was obviously the large ruby on the center shelf. The size of a child's head, it glowed brightly. The king's drop. Gemstones of its size weren't unheard of, Most great shells had gem hearts as big. What made the king's drop unique was that it was still glowing, over 200 years after being first locked into the vault. Vestim touched it with one finger. The light shone with such brilliance that the room seemed almost to be in daylight, though shaded blood red by the gemstone's color.
"Amazing," Vestim whispered.
"As far as scholars can tell," Rizin said, "the king's drop never loses its stormlight. A stone this large should have run out after a month. It's something about the crystal lattice, the lack of flaws and imperfections."
"They say it's a chunk off the Stone of 10 Dawns.
"Another story," Rizin said. "You are a romantic."
Her former Babsk smiled, then placed a cloth shade over the gemstone to reduce its glare, so it wouldn't interfere with their work. He opened his ledger.
"Let's start with the smaller gemstones and work our way up, shall we?"
Rizin nodded. The queen's guard killed. Click. He did it with a knife, right into the neck. Click dropped without a word, though the sound of the knife being ripped free shocked Rizin. The treacherous guard knocked against her chair, toppling her over as he slashed at Vestim. The enemy underestimated the merchant's spryness. Vestim dodged backward into the queen's vault, screaming,
"Murder! Robbery! Raise the alarm!"
Rizin untangled herself from her toppled chair and panicked, pulled herself away by her arms, dragging legs like cordwood. The murderer reached into the vault to deal with her Babsk, and she heard a grunt. A moment later, the traitor stepped out, carrying a large red light in his hand. The king's drop, shining brightly enough despite its black wrapping cloth. Rizin caught a glimpse of Vestim collapsed on the floor inside the vault, holding his side. The traitor kicked the door closed, locking the old merchant away. He glanced toward her, and a crossbow bolt hit him.
"Thief in the vault!" Fladim's voice said. "Alarm!"
Rizin pulled herself to a row of gemstone racks. Behind her, the thief took a second crossbow bolt, but didn't seem to notice.
"How?"
The thief stepped over and picked up poor Click's crossbow. Footsteps and calls indicated that several guards from the lower level had heard Fladim and were coming up the steps. The thief fired the crossbow once down a nearby row, and a shout of pain from Fladim indicated it had connected. Another guardsman arrived a second later and attacked the thief with his sword.
"He should have run for help," Rizin thought, as she huddled by the shelf.
The thief took a cut along the face from the sword, then set his prize down and caught the guard's arm. The two struggled, and Rizin watched the cut on the thief's face re-knit.
He was healing?
Could this man be a knight radiant? Rizin's eyes flicked toward the large ruby the thief had set down. 4 more guards joined the fight, obviously assuming they could subdue one man on their own.
"Sit back. Let them handle it."
Chiri Chiri suddenly darted past, ignoring the combatants and making for the glowing gemstone. Rizin lunged forward, well, more flopped forward, to grab at the larkin, but missed. Chiri Chiri landed on the cloth containing the enormous ruby. Nearby, the thief stabbed one of the guards. Rizin winced at the awful sight of their struggle, lit by the ruby, then crawled forward, dragging her legs, and snatched the gemstone. Chiri Chiri clicked at her in annoyance as Rizin dragged the ruby with her around the corner. Another guard screamed. They were dropping quickly.
"Have to do something. Can't just sit here, can I?"
Rizin clutched the gemstone and looked down the row between shelves. An impossible distance, hundreds of feet, to the corridor and the exit. The door was locked, but she could call through the communication slot for help.
But why?
If 5 guards couldn't handle the thief, what could 1 crippled woman do?
"My Babsk is locked in the queen's vault, bleeding."
She looked down the long row again, then used the cord Vestim had given her to tie the ruby's cloth closed around it and attached it to her ankle so she wouldn't have to carry it. Then she started pulling herself along the shelves. Chiri-Chiri rode behind on the ruby, and its light dimmed. Everyone else was struggling for their lives, but the little Larkin was feasting. Rissen made faster progress than she had expected to, though soon her arms began to ache. Behind, the fighting stilled, the last guard's shout cutting off. Rissen redoubled her efforts, pulling herself along toward the exit, reaching the alcove where they'd left her chair. Here she found blood. Flodham lay at the threshold of the entry corridor, a bolt in him, his own crossbow on the floor beside him. Rissen collapsed a couple of feet from him, muscles burning. Spheres on his belt illuminated her chair and the steps down to the lower vault level. No more help would be coming from down there. Past Flodham's body, the corridor led to the door out.
"Help!" she shouted. "Thief!"
She thought she heard voices on the other side, through the communication slot. But it would take the guards outside time to get it open, as they didn't know all three codes. Maybe that was good. The thief couldn't get out until they opened it, right? Of course, that meant she was trapped inside with him, while Vestim bled. The silence from behind haunted her. Rissen heaved herself to Flodham's corpse and took his crossbow and bolts, then pulled herself toward the steps. She turned over, putting the enormous ruby beside her, and pushed up so that she was seated against the wall. She waited, sweating, struggling to point the unwieldy weapon into the darkness of the vault. Footsteps sounded somewhere inside, coming closer. Trembling, she swung the crossbow back and forth, searching for motion. Only then did she notice that the crossbow wasn't loaded. She gasped, then hastily pulled out a bolt. She looked from it to the crossbow, helpless. You were supposed to cock the weapon by stepping into a stirrup on the front, then pulling it upward. Easy to do, if you could step in the first place. A figure emerged from the darkness. The bald guard, his clothing ripped, a sword dripping blood in his shadowed hand. Rissen lowered the crossbow. What did it matter? Did she think she could fight? That man could just heal anyway. She was alone, helpless. Live or die, did she care?
Yes, I care. I want to sail my own ship.
A sudden blur darted out of the darkness and flew around the thief. Chiri-Chiri moved with blinding speed, hovering about the man, drawing his attention. Rissen frantically placed the crossbow bolt, then took the captain's cord off the ruby sack and tied one end to the stirrup at the front of the crossbow. She tied the other end to the back of her heavy wooden chair. That done, she spared a glance for Chiri-Chiri, then hesitated. The Larkin was feeding off the thief. A line of light streamed from him, but it was a strange, dark, violet light. Chiri-Chiri flew about, drawing it from the man, whose face melted away, revealing marbled skin underneath. A parchment? Wearing some kind of disguise? No, a void bringer. He growled and said something in an unfamiliar language, batting at Chiri-Chiri, who buzzed away into the darkness. Rissen gripped the crossbow tightly with one hand, then with the other, she shoved her chair down the long stairway. It fell in a clatter, the rope playing out after it. Rissen grabbed onto the crossbow with the other hand. The cord pulled taut as the chair jerked to a stop, partway down the steps, and she yanked back on the crossbow at the same time, hanging on for all she was worth. Click. She cut the rope free with her belt knife. The thief lunged for her, and she twisted, screaming, and pulled the firing lever on the crossbow. She didn't know how to aim properly, but the thief obligingly loomed over her. The crossbow bolt hit him right in the chin. He dropped, and blessedly fell still. Whatever power had been healing him was gone, consumed by Cheery Cheery. The larkin buzzed over and landed on her stomach, clicking happily.
"Thank you,"
Rissen whispered, sweat streaming down the sides of her face.
"Thank you. Thank you,"
she hesitated.
"Are you
bigger?" Cheery Cheery clicked happily.
"Vistim, I need the second set of keys.
And that ruby, the king's drop. The Voidbringers had been trying to steal it. Why?" Rissen tossed aside the crossbow, then pulled herself toward the vault door.